Hey, welcome in, Center Point. So good to be together. And I've said this, I don't know how many times now, 15, 20 times, however many times we've done this, but it's good to be together, even though we can't be together. And, you know, one of my prayers for us as a church and as your pastor is that even though we can't be together physically, that we continue to worship with one another in spirit and in truth in these days. So wherever you are this morning, I know. I've been talking to people who are worshiping in their living room, people who are worshiping in their dining room, their bedrooms, driving down the road, taking their iPad or their computer out to a park, and wherever you are today, the Spirit of the Lord is present, and we know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Mm-hmm. And so, a little bit of a different setup for us today, and wanted us to do some things differently. As we got into to Psalm 65 and really felt like the Lord laid something different on my heart and looking forward to sharing this time. But we're going to jump into the Word, but then I want to spend some time in conversation with Pastor Alyssa as we talk about the Psalms, but very specifically how the Psalms speak to song and what it means for us as a people to be people who sing and sing songs of joy to God. And so I hope you've been following along throughout this summer series. I hope you've been getting into the Word, getting into the Psalms. And, you know, the goal here was that we get beyond the 23rd, that there's more to the Psalms than the 23rd, and they're rich and they're meaningful and they mean something even for us today. So with that, I want to invite us to hear the Word of the Lord from Psalm 65. And it'll be on the screen. Take it in. Ancient lyrics, ancient words. The writer says, "Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled." And what we're working with here is it's a psalm. It's an agricultural psalm when the writer believes that they would have already yielded the crops for that year. And they would have been basically taking the first fruits of their crops to God. They would have been tithing and taking the first fruits back to God. And so the writer's saying that the crops are there, the first fruits are there in Zion. Praise awaits you. And this act of praise was this bringing of the crops, of the first fruits to God in Zion. Verse 2, he says, "You who answer prayer, to you all people will come." Verse 3, we're going to get back here in just a minute. Verse 3, "When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those who choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farther seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations." And one of the writers I was reading this week was talking about this idea that not only are those who are bringing the first fruits to the temple going to praise God, but God's power extends across the sea. And for ancient Israel, who would have known what that looked like? But they're saying that the power of the Lord extends even over the seas to reach people who might be on the far side of the sea. Verse 8, and this is where we're going to kind of stick this morning. "The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly." That's the agricultural language. We were bringing praise and glory to God because the Lord has brought rain that has brought crop, and now we bring the first fruits back to you. "The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for you have ordained it." So God is providing grain. He meant it to be that way. He's a provider for his people. "You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops." Again, rain imagery, where God is bringing new life through the gift of rain. "You crown the year with your bounty." That, again, a harvest image there. You crown this entire year, our work, when we planted the seed, you watered it, you made it grow, we brought forth the harvest, you put a crown on the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. "The grasslands of the wilderness overflow, the hills are clothed with gladness, the meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. There's this call even by the time we get to the end of the psalm that the grasslands, the meadows that are covered with the flocks, they're singing praise to God because God's he's a giver of gifts. He's a giver of abundance. And Psalm 65, ancient words, ancient lyrics. And as we look to celebrate God's goodness this morning, and in kind of a different manner, in kind of a new way, we want to be mindful of this God who is a provider, this God who gives in abundance. And I hope you're experiencing that in your own life. He's established the mountains. He can still the waters. And the very reality of God is this idea that that's painted there in verse 8 is as evening gives way to morning, the very reality of the sun coming up inspires new songs. It inspires songs of joy, songs of praise to God. And so I want us to take just a minute. I want us to spend some time in conversation with Pastor Alyssa this morning and talk a little bit about the importance of singing, the importance of song. I hope by this point, Center Point, you understand that worship is so much more than singing,
sure.
Right? It's so much more than song. We fall into the trap sometimes maybe of the old worship wars and style and all that kind of stuff, but it's so much more than that. And so I just want to ask you, like, why do you think, not necessarily as Christian people,
yeah.
but just to people in general,
yeah.
Why is song so important?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the power of music just with humanity throughout history, you know, you can't ignore it. I mean, if you just think about, you walk through your daily life and do you realize how saturated, like, we are in our culture, in our world with music? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just think about, you get in your car, your radio's on, you turn on the TV, it's saturated. You go into a store to shop or pick something up and you're hearing music, Spotify, you go to listen music there, whatever platform you use. It's just, it's everywhere. And I think that, you know, humanity is moved by music in a way that's beyond explanation. I think number one, it allows us to move deeper to a place where words alone really can't take us. But number two, I think that it's a universal language, you know? And I think that it's really amazing to think about that music unites and it unifies. And so it not only takes us past something that we really can't explain and deeper that words alone cannot do, but it unifies a diverse humanity. And I think for us as believers then, it's even more important because something supernatural then happens and transcendent when we as believers gather together and we sing songs together for God and about God in response to Him. I think that music is a part of our faith history. You look throughout Scripture and we come from a long line of people
yeah.
That have expressed their faith through song. Another beautiful thing I think you can just relate back to God as our creator. I mean, Psalm 65, it's just like, it's saturated in creation language, you know, and you think about God as our creator and we are his creation, but we are also co-creators with him. And so when we recreate and we create back to the Lord through music and we're singing his words back to his heart, man, I think the Spirit just like bursts with joy when we do that.
Right. You talk about the idea of the saturation. Do you ever find yourself singing a song and then you're like, why do I even know this?
Yes, all the time. I feel like my life is kind of a musical sometimes.
Right.
Is it I feel a, like I have like a song for everything.
Is it a melodrama? What?
I don't know.
It gets worse though, like when your kids get older, because they'll be like, you're singing a song and your kids are like, Dad, why do you know this song? You're like, I don't know.
Right.
Like I hear it every time I go in the store,
yeah.
Every restaurant. Like I don't know why I know, but we are. That's saturation. I think is a great.
Or your kids. Like if you flip the switch, your kids are singing songs from the 80s before I was born.
Right.
And you're like, how do you know that?
Touche. I'm a 70s child. I don't really like music from the 70s. Sorry, guys.
I mean, I'm barely an 80s child. So I guess.
Barely an 80s. That should be a song. Like that should be, I'm barely an 80s child. That would be good. I want to share something. Dr. Dennis Kinlaw is a devotional writer, preacher. I've loved to listen to him preach over the years. And I've gone through his devotional book on a couple of occasions, This Day with the Master. I don't do this for you often, but I want to read something to you. And this is a devotional that he entitled simply A New Song. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned something you just mentioned here. Singing is a very important aspect to the Christian walk. The religion of historic Israel and that of the Christian church has been marked by music as no other religious heritage in human history. And so he talks about the Old Testament people. He says they sang.
Right.
And the Old Testament people, they sang when they worked. They sang when they played. They sang when they loved. They sang when they worshiped. And he says the adoration of God was difficult for them to conceive without a song. His presence quickened the joyous impulse to sing. And then he jumps into the New Testament. He talks about Paul and Silas singing when they were in jail and shackles being broken. Like, how many times in worship do we experience the presence of God in a new life-giving way when we encounter lyric? And he says, when the believer maintains a relationship of intimacy with Christ, joy is an inevitable byproduct and its natural expression is song. There's a little bit more here that I want to get to, but you and I had a conversation maybe a year ago, I don't know, when I made a comment one time on a Sunday morning about, or maybe a small group setting where I said, you know, I feel like I'm in danger. I'm in trouble as a person when I'm not singing.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember that at all?
I do.
Do you remember the context of that?
Yeah. I don't know if I remember the context, but I do remember having that conversation when we stop and we cease to be just pressing into the heart of the Father is when we cease to experience joy, you know?
Yeah.
And we cease to experience intimacy with Christ through that.
And it comes out in song. Gary Chapman, in his book, Covenant Marriage, he talks about the idea of how a joyless marriage is a byproduct of a joyless life.
Yeah.
And he talks about the idea of like believers going to the doors of like people who are not a part of your church and, you know, knocking on the door and saying like, hey, don't you want to come be, you know, as bored as we are, you know? And like, what does joy, you know, look like for us as believers? Because if we truly believe those words, that God bestows forgiveness, God brings a bounty of harvest, God provides for us like incredible joy there. Well, Kinlaw goes on, he says, when we let our relationship with Christ languish, our song dies and we grow silent.
Mm-hmm.
Like that for me is a dangerous place. When I grow silent and song is not a part of my walk with Christ or my joy, like that's a dangerous place for me. And then he just ends the devotional by asking the question, is today a song for you? Now I'm gonna put you on the spot. What songs are playing themselves over and over right now in your head and in your heart?
Yeah, a song that we actually just led a couple weeks ago. It's called The Goodness of God by Bethel, Jen, and Brian Johnson. I love the declaration of that song. It's so simple, but it's so beautiful in how it's saturated in talking through the goodness of God, and then it says, your goodness is running after, it's running after me, and it just declares that. Another song that's really been really strong on my heart, even this past week, it's called Surrounded, and it's, I think they're called Upper Room or something like that.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
man, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's written out of so much scripture, but, just songs that are just declaring over, for me, my own heart of, like, Jesus, this is how I fight with praise and thanksgiving,
right.
You know? So that song has been really, really strong in my heart lately.
I'm literally, like, tearing up at the thought of those two lyrics, you know? Just that idea, I will sing of the goodness of God, even if I'm not feeling that goodness at the moment, or I'm not seeing it at the moment. And how many people in our world today, we're trying to see it. We want to see the goodness of God, you know, or even when it looks like my life is surrounded by the enemy.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by you if Christ is all around me, you know. That's good. I think Hillsong's New Wine just messes with me like nobody's business. I don't know. I live life in a song. You said your life is maybe like a musical. I feel like my life is song and lyric as well. I won King of the Lyrics one time on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. Like, and I always thought like, man, if my teachers in school, middle school, high school, if they could have put math and history and science and English to song, yeah, maybe that's what Schoolhouse Rock should have been. Maybe I should have been a watcher of Schoolhouse Rock, but like, I would have been a genius because I can remember lyrics. The Enneagram 9 song just messes with me right now. As a 9 on the Enneagram, if that doesn't mean anything to you, I'm sorry. But man, the lyrics just play with me. And a spoken word artist, not really a singing song, but a spoken word song by Propaganda. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's called You Mock Me. And he's talking to his past. Man, it'll get me, yeah, you know, every time. And then I have on my phone, my alarm every morning is Come Alive. Mm. Do you know Come Alive?
I do.
You do? From The Greatest Showman?
Oh.
I went with the non-Christian version. But Come Alive from The Greatest Showman,
yeah,
is like gold, mm-hmm, to me. And those are four right, oh, now that just work on me in a crazy, mm-hmm, crazy way. So Hamilton is out.
It is.
Right?
It's the
big deal. The big craze. Hamilton is out. And the entire thing is song.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible, the creativity that went into that.
Did it take like 14 years for him to write all that?
I don't know. But I would imagine so. I mean, I can't even imagine how long something like that would take to come to fruition. But man,
I think about that from like a cultural standpoint, mm-hmm, like truly a phenomenon of pop culture right now, Hamilton, and what that means for people, particularly the people who have been in a quarantine, people who have been going through a tough time, to now be able to see this musical. And I'm not endorsing the musical, everybody calm down, but to be able to see this musical that for so long was sold out on Broadway, you couldn't get tickets, and if you got them, they were super expensive, and now it's on a Disney live stream, you know? Yeah. But to think about the craze that's created because of song, mm-hmm, in our culture. I think in my own mind, like ruts get created, and I think I'm able to remember lyrics because of hooks.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have any Blues Traveler fans out there. Are you familiar at all with Blues Traveler?
I don't know. You're definitely putting me on the spot.
Yeah. Right, you're what'd you say? You're a
87.
Almost a child of the 80s. A child of almost the 80s. I don't remember what you said.
80s child, I don't know.
Barely an 80s child. You're already working on that. I heard today that Coldplay, Chris Martin from Coldplay, he wrote Yellow in 10 minutes.
Oh, my word.
And he was trying to like mock another singer. Right. When he started writing it. 10 minutes. Like, by the time today's over, you might have a song entitled Barely a Child of the 80s, and it'll be a number one hit, and we'll all get rich. I don't know. So Hook, mm-hmm, by Blues Traveler. Again, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Blues Traveler, but they have a song entitled Hook where they're basically making fun of how the reality of a hook in a song has power over us, and there's nothing we could do about it.
It's just there.
Yeah. So like the lyrics of the verse go, it doesn't matter what I say, as long as I sing with inflection, that makes you feel that I'll convey some inner truth of vast reflection. But I've said nothing so far, and I can keep it up as long as it takes. And it don't matter who you are, because if I'm doing my job, it's your resolve that breaks because the hook brings you back. I ain't telling you no lie. The hook brings you back. On this you can deny. And so when we go into a store and we hear a song, man, it's got a catchy hook. It sticks with us.
Right.
I'm fascinated by that idea that the hooks are what bring us back to songs that we can't get out of our mind. But I'm fascinated because I can only find one psalm out of 150 songs. I can only find one psalm that has a hook. Do you know which one it is?
I could look down at my paper.
You could look down
but
at
I'm
your
not
paper.
Gonna cheat.
She's not going to cheat. Psalm 136. His love endures forever. And so like the writer starts with like, you're the Lord above all lords. His love endures forever. The God above all gods, his love endures. That's the only psalm that has a hook, right? But what's interesting to me is like the range of raw emotion that takes place. How in your ministry and in your life, like how have you gone about making sense of the range of like human emotion that you feel between joy and sadness or excitement and lament?
Honestly, I feel like the book of Psalms as a whole for me has just, I mean, that is in its entirety, I think, covering, generally speaking, every human experience that we experience in this fallen world. And it's God's living, breathing, inspired, active word written by people who have gone through that before us. But I think that it gives voice to our prayers. And I think for me, that's how I have made sense of such a vast amount. Like, how do you even begin to put words to some of the things that people go through? And I think the Psalms, for me, just gives voice to that. Right. And it gives us a chance to just speak back again God's word to him through that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then it encourages each other. Like this idea, his love endures forever. It's an opportunity for us to say to one another, his love endures forever. It was interesting to me in preparing for this day. Excuse me. Psalm 136 is the only psalm with a hook. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. But then Psalm 137 is a straight up lament of the people of God living in Babylon. You ever seen Godspell, the musical?
I haven't.
Godspell, incredible musical, incredible lyrics by Stephen Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And there's a song that's taken from Psalm 137 where basically the people of God are saying, on the willows there, the willow tree, on the willows there, we hung up our lives, for our captors required a song of us. And our captors said to us, sing us one of your songs of Zion. And like, to the point they were like mocking them, you know, like sing us one of your songs now, one of your songs of praise, one of your joyful ascension songs, you know, sing one now and you're not in your homeland. And Psalm 137, it responds in that way. And that's where it ends. How can we sing the songs of Zion, or how can we sing the songs of God in a foreign land? Mm-hmm. You know, and like just watching what the writers of Scripture did to be able to say, and God's love endures forever, but we might find ourselves in exile the very next day and we can't sing. We're hanging up our harps. We're hanging up our guitars. We're hanging up our pianos, you know, and God is there.
That's
good. Kind of a weird question. Do you think people will be singing Hamilton songs 3,000 years from now?
I don't know. I think because it's put, the entire script of that story is put to a song, in a sense, you know? And I think that it just gives it a different dynamic. I think that it communicates in a different way that just kind of grabs our attention, and kind of brings us in, which is why there's so much hype around it. So maybe.
the hook brings you back,
maybe,
right?
Yeah, and maybe you can memorize an entire storyline, an entire script because it's put to song. I don't know.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you think 3,000 years from now, people will be writing songs about the songs of Hamilton?
Potentially.
I
don't know. Is it that good?
I don't know. I don't think it is. See, we didn't even get into that. Like, let the tomato throwing begin. But the jury is out for me, man. Like, I struggle sometimes as a person, particularly with music, when the whole world runs one direction. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. And that's kind of where I am at this point.
Yeah, you have to appreciate just the.
Oh, it's yeah. I appreciate art forms.
Sure.
Again, we're not endorsing it, so there you go. But it's, yeah. You know, when we get into the Psalms, though, we find these ancient expressions of prayer, ancient expressions of song, of lament, of joy. And this week, working out of Psalm 65, I read verse 8, and it just kind of stopped me in my tracks, which is what has brought us kind of to this moment right here, which is around the idea that the writer says in verse 8, Psalm 65, he says, "The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy." And I love that language. The Lord calls forth songs. Like, this isn't a human idea.
Nope.
Like, we should sing songs to God. Like, the Lord is saying, bring songs of joy my way. And so that kind of sent me down a different road, because there's a song entitled Your Name, which is a little bit of a modern worship song, but it grew out of that. The writer started with those lyrics. And so my mind started going down the route of, what are some of the songs that we're singing today, literally 3,000 years later, that are growing out of this ancient hymn book that we have? And so I had this dumb idea that I threw to Pastor Alyssa, and she's so gracious. But I thought, man, what if we sing some of those songs this morning that grow out of the Psalms, that grow out of this ancient hymn book, but what if they could become for us newer expressions of prayer, of praise, and of joy? And and so, well, you know, the first one literally grows out of our psalm for today. Psalm 65, verse 8. And again, the verse says, "As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name." And I think it's Paul Baloche. Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce his last name? But he's taken that psalm and he's put it to music for believers all around the world. "As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that arise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name." Like, awesome song. That's obviously not the whole song, it's just a verse and a chorus, but you guys, you and Brandon wrote a song out of a psalm a couple years ago.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
Yeah, it's right out of Psalm 56, and kind of what inspired it is just the thought of, let's just find a passage of scripture, specifically a lament we were looking for, and just put it to song as much as we can. To keep true to what that passage is saying. And I think just it's pretty incredible throughout this particular psalm, but through so many of the laments that we find in the book of Psalms, that it can be like incredibly heavy stuff that the writer is dealing with, but there's always a thread of hope or joy that they go back to. So you were saying Psalm 136, you know, his love endures forever, but, you know, but this. And so I think sometimes this song came out of when we're in a season of lament, sometimes we have to repeat over ourselves and tell our own souls, like, this is what I believe, because the circumstances around me are telling me everything otherwise, but I have to physically verbalize this to my heart, to my soul, to myself, to remind myself that I believe this. And so this song is really structurally nothing crazy. It's a couple of verses, and then the refrain of it is just, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I'm not afraid." Just to repeat that over and over again. So that's kind of how it was birthed.
Basically creating your own hook out of Psalm 56.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
For my enemies, they pursue me. All day long, they twist my words. They conspire and they lurk. But what can flesh do to me? Word I praise, in God I trust, I'm not afraid. Oh, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I'm not afraid. Ooh, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I'm not afraid.
That's literally like the scripture, like straight up, right? Yeah. I think I've told you before about a band that came through Trevecca one time when I was a college student, and they did this little concert in the hub, and all they sang was scripture. I mean, they just taken scripture and put it to music, and they sang. And I'm this poor, broke college student, but I had $20 in my pocket. And I went up to the lead singer afterwards. I was like, man, just keep on doing what you're doing. I gave him $20, you know, like maybe they bought McDonald's or something.
Yeah, maybe.
So powerful to put scripture to song, to embed it in our hearts. Psalm 96, this is actually, we just sang this, right? Great are you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's verses 1 and 2, Psalm 96 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day.
Yeah, I love the lyrics that the song speaks to in light of that psalm where it just says, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, and just goes back to us, you know, being co-creators with him, and we're then pouring back the breath that he gave us, you know, so. Let's sing this together.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Oh. And then I love where it says here, all the earth.
Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Is that the refrain at the end? Is that the bridge? What is that?
That's the bridge.
Yeah, I love that. We have another one we do at Center Point, 10,000 Reasons, and grows out of Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I love what the writer did there to take that idea of forgetting not all of his benefits and being like, I can come up with at least 10,000, right? I struggle with this one. I told Pastor Liss, I'm not a great guitar player, you know. I took 2 guitar lessons in the 8th grade with a guy named Kenny Rogers.
That's amazing.
But not the Kenny Rogers, the second tier Kenny Rogers.
Don't tell him that.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your songs again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. And then the second verse is actually, again, straight out of a psalm. You're rich in love, you're slow to anger, your name is great, and your heart is kind. And for all these reasons, I want to keep on singing. And man, I love, absolutely love that. Well, Psalm 42.
Yeah.
You shared with me this week that mm-hmm. you still sing this song, even today, over your own children. Tell us about As the Deer.
Yeah, As the Deer. Lots of us know and are familiar with this song. This song, I can say, has had an impact on me since I was a little girl. I remember just sitting in service and just it having just this incredible peace come over me when I would be singing that song. And it's just really stuck with me in a special way throughout the years. And I love to sing this song over my two babies at night.
Right.
And I love the imagery that it has just straight out of scripture, that a deer just so instinctively knows that its survival depends on water. And for me, I love that imagery when it relates to our longing and our thirsting and our hunger for the Lord. And for me personally, just to my longing to hear His voice right. among the 10,000 voices that we hear a day, you know, and I just think it's incredible to think about as my kids grow and mature, just singing that scripture over their hearts, that they would develop that longing to know the voice of their father, you know, and so it's just been a really special song for me.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Just growing out of creation, that the writer turns into a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to play guitar much. When I was a youth pastor, man, I used to lead worship like crazy. But you know, if I've led these next two, if I've led them once, I've probably led them 100 times. And the first one is "Give Us Clean Hands" out of Psalm 24. And the lyrics specifically grow out of verses 5 and 6, it says, the generation that receives blessing from the Lord is the generation that seeks the Lord, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. And then Psalm 51, David writing, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is a calling out to God after things have unfolded with Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. And Nathan the prophet comes in and says, hey, you've been caught. And he's crying out to God now. But yeah, songs that have been meaningful to me for years. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And then this, then the next one, again, we go from clean hands to give me a clean heart, a pure heart. And I think these are actually the words of Keith Green from a long time ago. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Just another example, taking the lyric, applying it to our own situation, and turning it into a prayer. You got one more from the Psalms. Whom shall I fear? I think another one that we've done at Center Point.
Yeah, it comes from Psalm 27. And I just love the declaration that it just says, I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always on my side. So let's just declare that together this morning.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Oh, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me.
You are faithful.
Centerpoint, ancient words that perhaps could become new expressions of prayer and of praise and of joy for us. And I want to speak just very quickly about the ultimate reason that we have to be joyful, that we have to praise God. And it grows out of Psalm 65, which is our psalm for today, but 65 verse 3, when the writer says, "When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave us, O God." And that's the reason we have to pray. That's the reason we have to praise. That's the reason we have to sing. That's the reason we have to serve and to give and to love, is because we've been forgiven. I pray that we would be able to embrace that forgiveness. We're going to close out this time with a song. And it comes not out of one of the Psalms. It comes out of John chapter 1. And I want to share this passage with you because the forgiveness that God bestows upon us, it comes from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, all who believed in his name, he gave them the right to be called children of God." Verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, 'This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me. He is before me.' Out of his fullness we have received all grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses." Center point, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known to us." So I don't know where you are today. I don't know what's going on in your life today. But Center Point, I want to tell you, we have reason to be thankful, even in the midst of a global pandemic. Even in the midst of trying to figure out what to do in summer when everything's shut down, even in the midst of the realities around us that need to be rectified and solved so that we can live in better relationship as human beings, we need Jesus Christ to come in and offer us the forgiveness that He alone can give. And so today, as we kind of highlight song, I just want you to know, Center Point, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever your day-to-day looks like, we've been called to lead a life of worship. Because Jesus is the giver of all good gifts, not the least of which is the forgiveness of sins that allows us to walk in new life in relationship with Him. So I know this might be weird depending on where you are, but Center Point, I want to invite you to stand right now wherever you are and at the top of your lungs, on key, off key. You just heard that we can sing off key. We can play off key. It's all good when we're doing it for the glory of God. Wherever you are, I want you to stand and let's join our voices together as a church as we sing, "Here I Am to Worship," right out of John 1.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with days. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake.
Point, let's pray together. God, thank you so much for loving us in all the ways that you do. God, sometimes we have to peek into the prayer lives and the song lives of other people to even begin to comprehend the bounty of your goodness over us. God, I pray that today, for the remainder of this summer, as we live life in the Psalms, God, that truly you use these words so that we might embrace new expressions of praise, new expressions of prayer, and new expressions of joy. God, we confess today that you've called us to a life of joy, not based on our circumstances, not based on our surroundings, not based on our situations. God, you've called us to a life of joy based on your presence in our lives and the forgiveness that you offer us through your Son, Jesus. So God, help us to be people of joy. Help us to live lives of joy. And God, we know that one of the many ways that joy will make its way out from us is in song. As we sing back to you, as we give you thanks and praise, all of which you alone deserve. So God, use these words today out of Psalm 65. Use these lyrics today that you're still speaking into the hearts and lives of people to strengthen our walk, to strengthen our lives, to follow more faithfully after you each and every day. God, I pray for our Centerpoint Church, wherever she is right now, scattered throughout this city, Central Florida, wherever folks are viewing from today, may your Holy Spirit be present, calling us, Lord, to a new level of faithfulness. May we find new words and new expressions, Lord, to articulate our thanks to you, our appreciation to you, our praise to you, oh God. And God, don't just be glorified, Lord, though, by our words and by our songs. God, be glorified by our actions, by our thought life, by our lives of generosity, by our lives of hospitality, by our lives of care and concern, by our lives of seeking justice and righteousness in our country and our land. And God, I pray that along the way, you give us peace in our hearts, peace in our homes. We love you today, Lord. We know you have our best interest in mind. Help us to seek you more and more with each passing day. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ, and the church said, Amen.